All right, Jerusalem. Good morning. Good morning. Let us begin. Begin by thanking all of our sponsors for this morning's share. To thank our Talmud Torah sponsors for the month of Sivan, Haba Alina Latova, Avram and Shindy Kelman, for dedicating all the Shimon Drashos this month in memory of Avram's father, Rafal Yechiel Ben Avram, Zichron Levracha. Our Dafyomi sponsors for today, Ayal and Sarah Steinberg, in the Schus of Continued Hut for Shlomo Chana Bas Susha, and for an ultimate Refuah Shalema. And Paul and Kathy Pollack wishing Mazel Tov to David and Kathy Schwartz on the bris today of their great grandson, Tzelig and Alana Glazer. Mazel Tov, Mazel Tov, Mazel Tov. Emir Hashem, continue Nachas, Brachas, Simchas for all of Klal Yisrael. Kadosh Baruch Hu, continue to watch over our brothers and sisters in Eretz Yisrael, our holy soldiers, to be successful b'chol maaseh yedeim. And we should just share Brachas Yeshuas and Nechamas for all of Klal Yisrael. So with that, let us begin. Interesting daf ahead of us today. Today's daf is Lamed Aleph 34. We are picking up Emir Hashem on Lamed Gimel Amud Beis. So we are still focused on one simple, singular mission, which is to try to understand the Mishnah, which seems to be most of our lives is spent trying to understand the Mishnah. So the Mishnah, an interesting case, which actually we are going to see, is Halacha L'Maisa. Is Halacha L'Maisa, which we'll see in the Shulchan Aruch today, but the Mishnah's case was as follows. Yushecht, Abheim Achayin Ov. And what happens? There's no blood. No blood. And then you go ahead and you handle that meat with ritually impure hands. What's the Halacha? Ultimately, halacha number one is the animal's kosher. That's number one, even though there's no blood. Halacha number two is you could go ahead and handle that animal ultimately with ritually impure, handle the meat with ritually impure hands. Why? Because the meat itself never became receptive to tumah. Why not? Because it never came in contact with a liquid. Okay, Rabbi Shimon says, no, shchita, by definition, renders it susceptible to tumah. So that's our machlokas. The Gemara was just trying to figure out, what's the case? Mishnah makes it sound like that it's advancing this big chiddush, that because the meat never came in contact with blood, therefore it's not hoksha lekabel tumah, and because it's not hoksha lekabel tumah, therefore, again, you can handle it with impure hands. But halacha l'maisa, what's the case? What's the case? So we're talking about chulin. So the Gemara is trying, we're trying to go case after case after case to try to figure out what exactly is the construct of the Mishnah. So that's what we're dealing with. The last thing we left off with, if you remember yesterday, was the Gemara wanted to suggest, why don't you establish the Mishnah reflecting the view of Rabbi Akiva? What does Rabbi Akiva say? So Rabbi Akiva was very interesting. Rabbi Akiva said that hands can become tchilas. A hands can become a rishon. Remember again, how could your hands become a rishon? How? Put it into a house with saraz. Amazingly enough, this is Shitas Rabbi Akiva. So if you take a look, so Rabbi Akiva said ultimately again that yadayim could become tchilos. Then the Gemara said that halach lamais, well maybe that's only by truma and kadshin, but by chulin perhaps not. So let's pick up actually 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, 16 lines are from the bottom. We actually got a little bit further than that, but let's just jump in right over there, like a three words further. So the Gemara said, one second, let the hands be shnios also. Rabbi Akiva is of the opinion that halacha l'maisa, a sheni could make a shlishi by chulin. By chulin, which would then mean fine, as long as the hands, they're going to both say. The backdrop, by the way, to all of this, is that in general, Chazal were gozer, a general tumah on hands. Right? Remember again, so in general, midrabanan at least were operating with the construct that hands would be considered to be like shnios. Be shnios, right? Second grade tumah. So the Gemara says, but one second, according to the Akiva, a sheni can make a shlishi by chulin. Disnan, because what did we learn? Bo bayom. On that day, Darash Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva Darash in the fine. I will say now, just an interesting piece of Talmudic history over here. If you take a look at Rashi, Rashi is in the wide lines, six lines into the wide lines. Bo bayom. Now, what does it mean on that day? So first of all, Rashi points out that whenever you see that expression always takes you back to a particular historical event. Which historical event? Bo bayom. Yom sheminu bo es Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah nasi. This is referring to the day that they appointed Rav Elazar ben Azariah as the Nasi, as the head of the Jewish people. Again, Rabbi, remember again, that's Rav Elazar ben Azariah was 18 years old, right, when he was appointed as the Nasi. Harei Anika ben Shivim Shana, like we read about Rav Elazar ben Azariah. So what happened? Now, V'chol Hecha D'Tani Boba Yom, Stamach Hahu Yoma Hava. That day, whenever you see in the Gemara that expression, that day is always a reference to the day that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was appointed as Nasi. Now, why was that an especially significant day? Watch this. The Gemara says, "V'hachi amrinam bebrachas." Actually, before we go into that, so I'll tell you. So remember, what happened that day? There was a big machlokis between Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah and Rabbi Gamliel. Right? Rabbi Gamliel was the previous Nasi. What did he say? He felt kol talmid shein tocho kibaro. Any student whose inside is not like his outside. In other words, Rabbi Gamliel felt that a seat in the Beis Medrash was earned only by the highest caliber and most sincere Talmidei Chachamim. As a result, what happened? There was a much smaller Beis Medrash, which makes sense. That's a much higher bar. It's a much higher bar. In fact, again, the Gemara says he posted guards by the entranceway to the Beis Medrash, and he said, any Talmud is not tocho kibaro, you can't come inside. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, when he became the Nasi, he had a totally different shita. His shita was, throw the doors wide open, whoever wants to come, come. Whoever wants to come, come. And the Gemara says that day, they added scores of benches to the Beis Medrash, because so many more people came in. That day, Bo Bayom, that the switch occurred, so there was like a proliferation of Torah. There was so much discussions and different halachas. So it was a tremendous turning point, right? In Klal Yisrael, the Gamliel, a little bit more almost like elitism, posting guards by the door, only kol tamash etocho kibaro, and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah throw the doors wide open. Just as an aside, by the way, we have to move on. Just as an aside, the Amshin of a Rebbe, Zechisadim Chalash Lebracha, asks, I don't understand, that Rabbi Gamliel posted guards by the door, right? So just play this out. And he says, any Talmud shein tocho kibaro, any Talmud is not genuine, cannot come in. You'll excuse me, how are the guards telling that, right? So what, you show up, can I see your tocho kibaro card? Like what is that? You getting fahair? How can you tell? And Amshin of a Rebbe says, so it's B'derech HaDrash, but it's so beautiful. He said, the guards essentially said to everyone, sorry, no entry. So there are two different kinds of people. There are some people that said, oh, can't get in, I'll go back home. And then there was another type of person. Another type of person said, I can't get in the front door, I'm going to figure out a different way in. And the Talmidim, who persevered enough to find another way in, those were the Talmidim of the Beis Medrash of Rabbi Gamliel. That's what it means to be Tocho Kibaro. A lot of times in life, we say we want something, but we're not really willing to put in the work to actually get it. So if you say you want it, but you're not willing to put in the work to get it, then it's not tocho kibaro. Then your inside and your outside are not aligned. It's nice. Outside, you say you want it, but you clearly don't want it badly enough to want to work for it. A Talmud who's tocho kibaro means I want it, and I want it badly enough that even if the front door, right, even if the easy entrance ways are closed, I will find my way inside. Incredible. In any event, on that day, that day, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah became the Nasi. Darash Rabbi Kiyah Darshan. V'chol kli cheres. So the Gemara says, Yitma will become Tameh. So the Gemara says, Tameh lo ne'emar. It doesn't say Tameh, ela Yitma. Rather, it says Yitma, it will defile the Tameh Achirim. Ultimately teaching us that a kli cheres, an earthenware utensil, has the ability to go ahead and convey tuma to something else. So the Gemara says, Limeit, what does that teach me? Al kikar shein yishu osa shlishi b'chulim. That teaches me that ultimately, again, a kikar shein, again, I will say, so the way Rabbi Akiva's drasha was set up was as follows, which is, if the kli cheres ultimately, again, is the kli rishon, right, that's the first utensil, becomes tameh, then ultimately you have a loaf that's being baked inside. That loaf becomes a sheni. That sheni then has the ability to create a shlishi. And this is all by chulin. So this just happens to be the halacha that Rabbi Akiva darshaned ultimately again on that day in the Beis Medrash. So Marissa, 1 second. Dilma hani mili b'tumah d'oraisa. Maybe all of this is only by Tumah D'oraisa, which is fine. In other words, maybe a sheni can make a shlishi when it comes to a Tumah D'oraisa. But ultimately, again, not by chulin. Rashi says over here, look at Rashi, Betuma Daraisa, it's about 10 lines up from the bottom, Kigon Sheretz. However, Betuma Darabana Kigon Yadayin, Demiradana Habishnil, so again, Rosa, remember again, all of these halachas are very interesting. Where we keep running up into a problem is, can you apply it to hand tumah? Because remember again, hand tumah, the concept that yadayim have a default tumah, and our shnios, that's drabanon. So it's very nice that now we've proven that according to Rabbi Akiva, a sheni, right, a second grade tumah, can create a third grade tumah, even by chulin. That's fantastic. But maybe that's only by tumah da'oraisa. Who says that that'll work ultimately again by a tumah drabanon? To which the Gemara goes weiter. Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Lazar, Amar Rabbi Oshia, Hacha b'chulin, another interpretation. What's the Mishnah? Hacha b'chulin shnasa ataras hakodesh, askinon. Okay, so we'll say, remember again, we've seen this concept before. The Mishnah is talking about a case of chulin, which were prepared with the strictures of kodesh. So we've seen this concept before, that there were people who were accustomed to consuming even their chulin with a heightened sense of kedusha. So we're talking about Mishnah over here, chulin that were prepared with kodesh sanctity. Udlok Rabbi Yeshua, not Rabbi Yeshua, Desanya, Rabbi Lazar Omer, ha'ochel rishon, if you go ahead and you consume food that is a rishon, you become a rishon. Sheni, you eat food that's a sheni, you're a sheni. Shlishi, you eat food that's a shlishi. Shlishi, Rabbi Yeshua says, no, ha'ochal rishon, b'sheni, sheni. Not true. Someone who eats a food that is a rishon or a sheni, by definition, becomes the status of a sheni. Shlishi, if you eat food that is a shlishi, that makes you sheni l'kodesh, vein sheni l'truma. Ultimately, again, that gives you a state of sheni, ultimately, again, for kodesh, but not for truma. Most remember, again, the piece of information to keep in mind over here is the higher the sanctity of an item, the more receptive and sensitive it is to tuma. That's the way tuma works. So the Gemara says, ubechulin, shenasla truma ataras truma. And for chulin, ultimately, again, which were prepared with the strictures of truma, ataras truma in ataras hakdish lo. So again, what are we talking about over here? Dafka. Chulin that's prepared with the strictures of truma, but not for kodesh. Kasav, our last line, chulin shenasu altaras hakodesh less behu shlishi, because he holds ultimately again that chulin which was prepared with the strictures of kodesh cannot create a shlishi status. I belukma top of lamadal 34a belukma bechulin shenasu altaras truma of Rabbi Yeshua. So again, so he just set it up ultimately again as a case of chulin. And not like Rabbi Yeshua. But why not set it up differently? Why not set it up as a case of chulin that were prepared ultimately al taras truma with the strictures of truma and make it in accordance with Rabbi Yeshua? To which the Gemara said, lo, sadaitcha diktani basar. Again, because we'll say, it says, but Mishnah's case is basar, di'i b'truma, because if we're talking about truma, halacha l'maisa, basar mi'iga, so I'll say, so remember again, you can't set up the Mishnah as a case of dealing with chulin, which was prepared with the strictures of truma. Why? Because halacha l'maisa, the Mishnah is talking about meat. So meat has no shaychas to truma. So to say that the Mishnah is talking about a case of chulin, which were prepared ultimately again with the strictures of kodesh, that makes sense because that's shaykh to meat. But truma, of course, is not shaykh. The Gemara says miika. So I'm sorry, basar, di b'truma basar miika. Is there any shaykhas of meat to truma? Of course, the answer to that is no. Ela mai bikachin. Rather, what do you have to say? You have to say that the Mishnah is talking about a case of chulin, which was prepared with the strictures, ultimately, again, of kachim. The Gemara says, 1 second, chaya b'kachim mi'ika. But using that logic, the Mishnah's case was basa, was behema, chaya, and oaf. So remember, again, I will say, by karbanos, okay, you could have behema, you could have oaf, but there's no chaya. We spoke about this yesterday. There's no such thing as the use of a non-domesticated animal like a deer within sacrificial service. So what's happening over here? To which the Gemara says, no. Basar b'basar michlof, basar b'peri lo michlof. No, here's the difference. When it comes to meat, ultimately, again, meat looks the same. And it's easy to confuse one type of meat with another type of meat. Therefore, halacha l'maisa, you could prepare even the meat of chaya b'taras hakodesh. Amar Ula. So Ula said as follows. Chaverya amri. Ula said, my friends said, the chulin shenasu al taras hakodesh, udlok Rabbi Yeshua. that once again, so Ula is coming back to what we just mentioned before, that what's the Mishnah's case? The case of the Mishnah ultimately is chulin, which were prepared with the strictures of Kodesh. So again, Abbas, we're talking about over here, once again, we mentioned this many times, but again, chulin, which means non-sacred food, right, mundane food, but people were careful to prepare their chulin even with the highest strictures. Now again, you don't have to do that. People did that, I guess, in order to maintain just a uniform standard for themselves. Also, I guess for Kohanim, perhaps for Kohanim, this would make a lot of sense, because then, halacha lemaaseh, you were kind of maintaining one level of kashrus, you know, in your home for all things. Again, what, the why is irrelevant right now. Point over here is, Ula comes back and says, what's the case of the Mishnah? Because again, Abbas, remember, just keep your eye on the ball. What are we trying to figure out? We're trying to figure out why we would care about tumah in a case of regular shechita. Well, if I'm shechting an animal and it's not the base, I mean, if it's just for my own private consumption, what's the issue, right? How exactly does tumah come up? So just what we're trying to find here is a case of I'm shechting chulin, but somehow matters of tumah are relevant to this shechita. That's what we're trying to figure out over here. So Ula says, okay, what's the case? It's a case of chulin, which were prepared al taras hakodesh, which means chulin, which was prepared according to the strictures, ultimately, again, of karbanas, of kodesh, udlok Rabbi Yoshua, not like Rabbi Yoshua, as we just saw before. Va'ana amina, and Ula says, I think Rabbi Yoshua, Yedeki, even reflective view of Rabbi Yoshua, v'lomi ba'ikamar, lomi ba'ichulin shinasu al taras hakodesh techamiri, dispu shlishi, it goes without saying that chulin, which are prepared in accordance with the strictures of Kodesh, because they're chamer, can even have a shlishi level. Because we also remember again, what are we looking for over here? What are we looking for? Like, I have no idea what we're looking for, right? Well, here's what we're looking for, right? I'm looking for a case. It's actually relatively simple. I'm looking for a case of chulin that could create a shlishi, a third level of tumah. Now, why? Because remember again, what is conveying tumah to my newly slaughtered animal? What's conveying tumah? My hands. What's the status of my hands? Sheni. Right? Remember, that is a rabbinic status of tumah, which is automatically conveyed on hands. Chazal goes there, hands are all over the place, right? Touching all kinds of things. And therefore, again, my hands have a default status of being a sheni. Right? That's why, again, one of the reasons for ritual hand washing or ritual hand immersion is to take away the tumah of my hands. So now, when you tell me that my hands could convey tumah to a newly slaughtered animal, when we're talking about that, that means I need a case of my hands being able to make something into a shlishi. Into a shlishi. Now, if we're talking about a sacrificial animal, that's easy. Right? Of course. But the Gemara suggests this. No, I'll tell you how it can happen. It's a case of chulin, which are being prepared, ultimately, again, with the strictures of hekdesh. So you've adopted upon yourself a heightened level of tumantara. So this is chulin, a non-sacrificial animal, ultimately, again, being prepared with the strictures of kodesh. Okay, so now this makes a lot more sense. So therefore, if I go ahead, I slaughter that animal, and I touch that animal with my hands, then what's the halacha? Then the halacha ultimately is that meat will now become a shlishi. That's it. That's the whole case. We've just shown how a chulin animal could become a shlishi latuma. So the Gemara says, now all that Ula's adding in over here is, that makes perfect sense when you're preparing the animal atara sakodesh. But I think even more. I think as follows. So an animal that is being prepared with the strictures, ultimately again of Kodesh, that it can become a shlishi. But even chulin that is being prepared ultimately again with the strictures of truma. Nami ispuhu shlishi. I think even that can become a shlishi. Even though again, it doesn't necessarily make sense to say that you're preparing meat al taras truma, right? Because truma has nothing to do with meat. But if you did adopt that level of sanctity, Ula suggests that that meat can also go ahead and become a sheni. That's his logic. That's his logic. Okay. So Mar says, by the way, man chaveria, who are Ula's friends? Rabbi Bar Bar Chanahi. What a good friend, right? You might also say, who are your friends? Who are your friends? So Rabbi Bar Bar Chanahi, Rabbi Yochanan, my ahadri, Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yoshua Lahadadi. Ultimately, again, what did Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yoshua, what did they answer each other up? This is from the discussion on the bottom of Lama Gimel on the days. What did they answer each other up? So the Marah says, Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yoshua Lahadadi. Amar lo, Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yoshua. So Rabbi Eliezer said to Rabbi Yoshua, Matsinu Ochel Chomer. Now actually, it's interesting. The Hagos Fitzunim changes this. That Matsinu Sheha Ochel Chomer Min HaMa'achal. We have seen ultimately again that the one who eats has a more chamer status than the food item itself. What does that mean? De'ilu nevelas. Oh, then here's what's interesting. What's the proof to this? De'ilu nevelas of tahar bachot lo metame. Because let's remember again, a bird, carcass of a bird, right? Bird nevela is not metame from the outside. In other words, if you touch it, it's not metame. How do you contract nevelas of velu ochla? But if you eat it, remember again, as once that's in your throat, metame begadam beisabliya. It conveys tuma to your clothing even just while swallowing it. And yet va'anu heich lo nasa ochel kemachol. How can we not go ahead and make the food itself at least as chomer as the one who is eating it? Rabbi Yeshua will say, "Menevelas of tahar lo gamrinan dechidushu." So Yeshua says, "No. You can't learn anything out from the case of nevelas of tahar. Why? Because that's a chidush." And I was about to say the whole concept that nevelas of only conveys tuma ultimately again when you're swallowing it. That in of itself is a tremendous chidush. Elamatzinu shama'achal chamar min ha'ochel. Rather, we have found in other cases that the food item itself has a more chamar status than the one who's eating it. How so? De'ilu ma'achal bekabeitza va'ochel ad'achal kechatzi pras. Very simple, because when it comes to matters of tumah, generally, again, food item conveys tumah in the size of a kebe, the size of an egg, but yet ultimately, again, the one who eats it does not contract tumah. Ultimately, again, until you eat chatzi pras. Chatzi pras means the size of half a loaf. Half a loaf. Okay. Point over here is you see that they're not the same. Va'anu heich na'ase ochel kimachal. And therefore, how can we equate ultimately, again, the one who is eating with the food item itself? Rabbi Lazar will say, Tumah mishi'urin lo gamrinan. We do not learn out the halachos of tumah from the halachos of shi'urin. Those are two different things. Va'od, furthermore, lidvarach asha'ata omer al rishon. Sheni, you who said that ultimately, again, contact with a Rishon or ingestion of a Rishon ultimately makes you a Sheni, Yafa Atomer, that makes sense. But Sheni Lama, but why is it that touching a Sheni or ingesting a Sheni makes you a Sheni? What's the logic in that? Amarlo, Matsinu, Sha Sheni Osa Sheni Al Yedei Mashkin. Because we find a case where a Sheni can make something else another Sheni through liquid. Now, what's that case? So we'll say, now take a look. Actually, this is a very interesting case. If you look in Rashi, this is in the wide lines. In the widest lines. 2, 4, 6, 8 lines in. Amar lo matzini, you see that at the end of the wide line? At the end of the eighth of the widest lines. Amar lo matzinu, sha'ochol sheni oses chaver sheni. It's actually very interesting. That one sheni can make another food a sheni. Where do we see it? Look at the next Rashi. Ayidei mashkin. It's very interesting. Im naga ochal sheni, ba'ochal shamashke tofeach alav. So we'll say, if you have a food that is a sheni l'tuma, and then what happens? That sheni comes in contact with another food. But that second food has liquid on top of it. So imagine for a moment you have a piece of meat that's a sheni, then you have another piece of meat, a steak, and that second piece of steak has like gravy on top, juices on top. Now what happens? Now watch this. And that juice, shamash ketofeach halav, and that gravy is moist enough that it can make something else wet. So what's the halacha? Naase mashkin tchila, kediktani va'azil, kolapos la'tzatru matami mashkin lios tchila. V'chazra mashke va'osa ha'ochel sheni. This is fascinating. So actually the way this works, and we'll see the mechanics in just a moment. So listen to this. You have a food item that's a sheni. You then take that sheni food item, you touch it to the gravy, to the liquid on top of the steak. That liquid actually becomes a rishon. Guys, we'll see why. And then the liquid makes the steak underneath it into a sheni. Fascinating. So a liquid almost like reactivates the tumah, making a secondary food item a sheni. I'm reading the rest of Rashi. Therefore, what do you see from here? So essentially, you see a case of a sheni which can make a sheni. Now, really, what's happening over here is the sheni is making the liquid a rishon, which is then making the food item a sheni. But the way we see in halacha is that a sheni could create a sheni. Incredible. Incredible. Amar lo, good. I did mashkin. Amar lo, v'hamashkin na mitchila. But that's not a fair case because really the mashkin itself becomes like a rishon. This nan kala posel b'truma. Anything that invalidates truma, metamei mashkin lihios tchila. Ultimately, again, anything that invalidates truma makes a liquid ultimately again into a tchila, into a rishon. Chutz mitvul yom. The exception of that, of course, will be a tefillin, because let's remember again, who's the tefill yom? That's the guy who went to the mikvah waiting for Harif Shemesh, one of the lowest forms of tumah. So the Gemara goes by Tavod, Shlishi Sheni Lama. Furthermore, again, what we said before, about the Gemara is going back over the price that we saw before. Why is it that a Shlishi could create a Sheni? Amar lo, af ani lo amarti ala b'truma. Even I, right? Even I only said, ultimately, before you turn the page, even I only said that with truma. Now, what does that mean? That ultimately, again, that this is talking about food which was prepared with taras truma. Even I only said that by taras truma. Shetarasa, because ultimately, again, the tara of truma, ultimately, again, tumahu eitzala kodesh. Because remember, again, truma is on a lower level of kodesh. So ultimately, again, that which is quote unquote tara by truma is considered to be tuma ultimately again by kodesh. Okay, I'm Rabbi Sramosai. So again, so all these just adding over here is that concept of shlishi creates a sheni. That's only ultimately again by truma because truma has a lower sanctity ultimately than kodesh itself. Fine. Tomorrow goes weiter. I'm Rabbi Sramosai. Lamed Aleves 34b. I'm Rabbi Zera. I'm Rabbi Asi. I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yanai. Ha'ochol shlishi shel chulin shnas la'taras hakodesh. So essentially, pause here just a moment because it's a little bit of a newer topic, but it's still the same sugya. So remember again, essentially, what we've just gone through in this exercise over the bottom of Lama Gimel Amadalef, Lama Gimel Beis, Lama Dalet Amadalef is trying to figure out the Mishnah. Here's what we know, right? Let's go with what we know because we're going to circle back to that in just a moment. What do we know? What do we know? Right. Number one, we know there's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what we know, right? And we know that He loves us, and we know that we only learn this because we love Him. That's what we know. That's why we do this. Because we love our Ribono Shalom. That's what we know. In addition to that, we also know that if you go ahead and generally you shecht an animal, there's supposed to be blood. If there's not blood, the animal is still kosher. We'll circle back to that in just a moment. What else? Machlokes the Mishnah, if there's no blood, is the meat receptive to Tumah? Is the meat receptive to Tumah? Tanakama says no. Rabbi Yeshaviv says yes. That's our machlokes. All we're just trying to figure out is, assuming we're not talking about any level of sacrificial law over here, right? And we know, how do we know we're not talking about karbanos? How do we know that? We know that because the Mishnah includes chaya in this discussion. There's no such thing as chaya by Kodesh. So as such, we're talking about chulin. So given the fact that we're talking about chulin, where does tumah play in over here? Why would this ever be an issue? So bottom line, what's the conclusion? The conclusion is we must be talking about a case of chulin, which is being prepared with some additional level of sanctity. That's the bottom line takeaway. There's a machlokes, what level of sanctity are we discussing? Are we talking about chulin that's being prepared, let's say perhaps with the sanctity of truma? Well, that's a little strange because we're talking about meat. So maybe it's chulin that's being prepared ultimately again with the sanctity of kodesh, of karbanos. Maybe that must be ultimately again what it is that we're dealing with. But then that just, all that's happened over here is once we get into these topics, we open up a beautiful and holy Pandora's box. Because again, as you can see, there's raging machlokes as to how to these levels of tumah work. A rishon, a sheni, a shlishi, what creates what? So that's a whole machlokes. But bottom line is that halacha lemaisa, we're talking about in the Mishnah a case of chulin, which is being prepared with a heightened level of kiddusha. And that's where tuma factors in over here. That's it. Let's go a little bit weiter. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Zera, Rabbi Asi, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yanai. Ha'ochel shlishi shel chulin shnas la'taras hakodesh, nasa gufa sheni lekodesh. So listen to this. Rabbi Zera says, if a person goes ahead and eats a shlishi of chulin that was prepared la'taras hakodesh. So again, what's the case over here? I go ahead and I have chulin. My chulin was prepared al-taras hakodesh. My chulin was prepared ultimately again with the sanctity as if it was kodesh. Okay? Okay. Now ultimately, again, I went ahead. This it's a shlishi. How would it be a shlishi? How would chulin shenasu ataras chodesh become a shlishi? Oh, I know the answer to that one. What's the answer to that one? The answer is very simple. I shechted without washing my hands beforehand. The animal bled. I touched the meat. My hands are a sheni. Right? Now there's blood. Blood makes the meat receptive to tumah. The meat becomes a shlishi. Boom. That case I know. So what happens if you ingest that meat? Nase gufo sheni lekodesh. Interestingly enough, you become a sheni for kodesh. Right? Because you got to remember again, the more holy something is, the more receptive it is to tumah. So I know it sounds strange that I ingested shlishi meat. How do I become a sheni? Because remember again, I become a sheni for kodesh. I become a sheni. I have a heightened level of tumah. Ultimately, again, for things that are more sensitive to tumah. Eisra b'zeir la b'yasi. Shabzeir is kach la b'yasi. Shlishi sheni l'kodesh. Shlishi sheni l'trumah. Ultimately, again, a shlishi. Right, if you are a shlishi status of tumah, can create a sheni l'kodesh, but not a sheni l'trumah. B'chulin shenas la taras trumah. So that's talking about a case of where? What is that a case of? That's talking about a case, ultimately, again, of chulin, which was prepared with the tara of truma. Al taras truma in, al taras hakodesh lo. So that makes it sound like it's only dafka case where the chulin was prepared with tara of truma, but not al taras kodesh. That contradicts what we just said before, because we said we're talking about a case of chulin, which was prepared al taras hakodesh. It was a shlishi. You ingested it, you become a sheni. Amrale, lomi bai kamar. He says, no, it goes without saying. Lomi bai. I was saying, what does it mean it goes without saying? That halacha lemaisa, it is obvious that if you prepared chulin, al taras hakodesh, right, that halacha, and then halacha lemaisa, it became a shlishi. It can become a shlishi. That's pashut. What the chiddush over here is, even if you prepared chulin al taras truma, that could become a shlishi as well. That's the chiddush. That's the chiddush that's being advanced. The af ani lo amarti ela betruma. Ela bet Gemara said, va'af ani lo amarti ela betruma kamar. So he says, and I only wanted to express that halacha lemaisa, this entire idea could even be done by truma. In other words, it is pashut that something can become a shlishi when it is being prepared. Ultimately, again, al taras hakodesh. How the chiddush over here is that halacha lemaisa, even chulin that is being prepared al taras truma can also go ahead and become a shlishi. Incredible. So the Gemara says, as follows: Amarayinu v'alibad Rabbi Yochanan. So ultimately, again, I'm sorry, I read that wrong. V'ha af ani lo amarti ela b'truma kamar. Aye, but that's not what it says, right? But it says, but I even said only by truma, that which makes it sound like there's a din dafka by truma. So the Gemara says, Amarayinu v'alibad Rabbi Yochanan. You're right. It's machlokes Amarayim, and ultimately, again, we are espousing the view of Rabbi Yochanan. Incredible. Amar Ula. We'll say a bit of another detour over here. Amar Ula. Ha'ochel shlishi shel chulin shenas la'taras truma nifsal gufo milecha b'truma. This is very interesting. So we'll say, now watch this. A person goes ahead and eats a shlishi of chulin shenas la'taras truma. So again, one more time. I have chulin. Chulin was prepared al taras truma with the strictures and the sanctity ultimately again of truma. So what's talacha? Now I ingest that. So I ingested chulin, which was prepared with the tara of truma, and that chulin ultimately again was a shlishi. So now halach lemaisa, what's my status? Nifsal gufo mile'echa b'truma. I'm not allowed to eat truma. I'm pasul. Now I'm going to both say, we remember again from our extensive journeys into tumah and tara, the lashon of pasul. Is like the lowest level beyond the runners. Once you can no longer acquire additional levels of tumah, you become what's called pasul. So the Gemara now makes it sound like if you go ahead and you ingest chulin, which was prepared with the strictures of truma, and that chulin was a shlishi, your body becomes pasul, and therefore you can't eat truma. Okay. So Gemara says, "Ma'kamashvaman." What's blessing? What's the chiddush over here? What's the chiddush? Tanina. We've learned this before. Shlishi, right? If you ingest rice, it's a shlishi. Sheni lekodesh and sheni letruma. Ultimately, again, you become a sheni for kodesh, but there is no sheni for truma. V'chulin shenasu al taras truma. And we're talking about a case of your chulin, which was prepared with the strictures of truma, to which the Gemara says, sheni hu delo havi. It can't become a sheni, however, shlishi havi, but it can become a shlishi. So we see from here that yes, you could have chulin, ultimately again, you could have chulin, shenasu al taras truma, that could become a shlishi. So what does the Gemara make sound like? Ula's giving me a big chiddish. What's the big chiddish? We already learned it before. To which the Gemara says, imei, if we're just learning it out from this previous statement, hava amina, lo sheni havi velo shlishi havi. Maybe it's not a sheni or it's not a shlishi. Va'aydi to ka'amar sheni bakodesh, and since it ultimately said sheni bakodesh, amar nami ain sheni b'truma. It just said that there's no sheni b'truma. Kamash malonda no, kamash malonda halocha l'maisa, you could even go ahead and make a shlishi by truma. So again, Abosai, the point that the Gemara is making over and over again is as follows. What we established from the previous Gemara is that everyone agrees that halacha lemaisa, you can go ahead and if you have chulin shenasu al taras hakodesh, chulin prepared ultimately again according to the strictures of kodesh of sacrificial law, that chulin can become a shlishi. What about chulin shenasu al taras truma, which is truma is a lower level than kodesh, can that become a shlishi as well? From the previous Gemara, that was not abundantly clear. From this Gemara, ultimately, the Gemara is clearly reinforcing over and over again, yes, that is possible. That if you have chulin prepared with the sanctity of Truma, even that has the ability to become a shlishi. I'm pausing here for just a moment. There is one piece of interesting... Actually, okay, so fine. So that's what we have. And again, remember, why is this important to us? Why is this important to us? Why? Why? Because Torah hi, because it's Torah, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave it to us, it's important. That's why. But remember, again, for Mishnaic purposes, remember, everything revolves back to one simple idea. We're trying to figure out how Tuma and Tara factors into a discussion regarding Shchitas Chulin. Why are we having this discussion over here about Tuma when it comes to just shechita of a regular mundane animal? That's our shaila. So remember again, all roads lead back to the same idea, which is, okay, what's the case? One more time. What's the case? What am I shechting? I'm not shechting anything sacrificial, right? Again, one more time. How do I know that I'm not shechting anything carbonic? How do I know that? One word. How do I know that? Chaya. One word. Because the Mishnah chooses includes chaya. Once you tell me chaya, there's no carbonic discussion over here, which means this is automatically a discussion of chulin. So let's go back for a second. What was the Gemara's discussion? I'm shechting an animal. There's no blood. So what's the shayla? Is the meat receptive to tumah now with no blood? How would the meat convey tumah? How would the meat receive tumah? How? My hands. Why are my hands tameh? Why the shnius? Because Chazal said so. There is default rabbinic tumah on my hands. That's default rabbinic tumah. Chazal goes there that halacha lemaisa, again, my hands are a sheni. So now, okay, now this is coming together. So now, in a typical case of where there's shchita and blood, the meat is always receptive to tumah, which is why I will say, very interesting, you have to know that in the times with tumah tara is in effect, you would always have to wash your hands before doing shchita. Right? Because, or immerse your hands, however you're taking care of hand tuma. Because otherwise, your hands will absolutely convey tuma. Now maybe you'll say, I don't care, it's chulin. Okay, you're entitled to do that. You don't have to care about chulin becoming tame. But, however, the Mishnah is dealing with the case of someone, clearly, who was careful with ritual purity, even with his chulin. So such a person, therefore, would have to make sure that his hands were ritually pure before going ahead and shechting. So now, what's the case of our Mishnah? There's no blood. You're like, oh, this is great, no blood. No blood means what? The meat's not receptive to tumah. Because again, in order to become receptive to tumah, what has to happen? The food item has to come in contact with one of the seven liquids. There's no blood, we're good to go. And that indeed is the position of the Tanakama. Rabbi Yeshavev says, no, it's mekabel tumah. It's mekabel tumah. So again, Abba says, so now, one more time. So now, all we're trying to figure out over here is, well, if it's chulin, how is it becoming tumah to begin with? So now, Abba says, so now we have two possibilities. Two possibilities are very simple. It could either be chulin, which was prepared with the strictures of karbanos. That's called chulin shenasu ataras hakodesh. Or now, based on where we're holding now in the Gemara, it could also be chulin shenasla taras truma. Either way, if you're preparing meat with either of those two levels of sanctity, the Gemara clearly indicates that in both of those cases, what could that chulin become? That chulin could become a shlishi. Beautiful. That's exactly what I'm looking for. Because my hands are a sheni. So I'm looking, therefore, for a halachic construct in which I could render something a shlishi. And now we have just successfully proven both of those things. So both say, that's what the Gemara is holding right now. We'll pause over here for today in this discussion. Don't worry, we're not finished. There's still more. There's enough Tuman Tara to go around. But I will say, but just understand something amazing. I'm Musa Haskell to end off. I will say, when we spend our mornings immersed in Tuma and Tara, what that should give us is a sensitivity to these halachas going into our day. Because wherein lies our greatest life challenge? Our greatest life challenge. Also, remember again, we spoke about this last week. I don't remember the context. But we spoke about this last week. Remember, how do we begin every single week? How does the week begin? We daven Ma'ariv. And what's the first weekday bracha that we say? Ma'ariv, first weekday bracha? Ata chonein la'adam das. You give us das. And remember again, what did Chazal put into that bracha? What did they put in there? Havdalah, the ability to distinguish between things, is the greatest gift that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us. And the most important area where you have to use your power of discernment and your chachma, your bina and das, is lahavdil bein ha-tameh lahatahar. To know in life, what's tameh, what's tahar? Because if you can't tell the difference between Tuma and Tara, then I'm in really big trouble. If I can't tell the difference between Tuma and Tara, then ultimately, again, I'm going to spend my life mired in all the wrong things. So the first weekday bracha we make as we enter into the new week is Ata Choni La'adam Das, and Chazal put the bracha of Abdullah. Because again, use your Das to distinguish between Tuma and Tara. Shabbos, when we use these sugyas, when we learn these sugyas, you might be like, oh, I'm lost. And they are definitely complicated, and I'm not doing it justice in a daf yomi shir, that's for sure. Hopefully giving you a general ideas that you need in order to be able to operate through the sugya. But the Musar Haskel, I will say, is, okay, I'm a guy who knows the difference between Tuma and Tara. That's who I am. At least I know that there's a Rishon, that there's a Sheni, that there's a Shlishi, that there's Chulin Shnasu Ataras HaKodesh. Chulin Shnasu Ataras. I know Tuma and Tara, at least a little bit. But I know enough to tell the difference. I know enough to tell the difference. And as long as I know how to tell the difference in Tuma and Tara, then I am armed and ready to live successfully. Rabbos, I'll stop over here for today. Shkayach, everyone. Everyone's going to have a great day. I'm going to have time now.